We are working our way through the book of Proverbs. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, and there are 915 verses in the book of Proverbs. And many of those proverbial gems of wisdom come to us one verse at a time in Proverbs. Now, sometimes there's a whole section, a whole chapter that's on a particular topic, but most often there's just these little nuggets that appear, and they seem like they're all strung together with no real cohesiveness. One verse might be talking about finance, one verse might be talking about relationships, one verse might be talking about faith, and they're all just right there together. And so sometimes when you read through the book of Proverbs, it seems all disconnected. But as a whole, the grouping of the wisdom that is the Word of God in the book of Proverbs offers us so much on so many topics. And so you might find something like we're going to find today, one verse in Proverbs 11. That's our text for today, 11:14. But that verse might have 20 other verses scattered throughout the book of Proverbs that underscores the same idea, the same topic, the same wisdom. And so I'm going to bring out some of those verses throughout the message this morning that goes along with this one particular verse that is our text for today. And so in the weeks ahead, there may be other texts just like that. May not be 5 or 10 verses long. May just be one verse. But there's going to be 5 or 10 other verses that in Proverbs that are exactly the same idea, cover the same topic. So our text for this morning is Proverbs chapter 11, and one verse, verse 14. And this is the Message translation. It says, without good direction, people lose their way. The more wise counsel you follow, the better your chances. This is the word of God for the people of God. So I'm a reader. I like to read. I even like to read bumper stickers. And license plates, and T-shirts. Some of my favorite kind of off-the-page messages are things like, if you can read this, you're too close. That's on a bumper sticker. Or the one that goes with that is, if you can read this, thank a teacher. I like that one. I saw several T-shirts, but this one kind of sticks in my mind. Maybe you've seen this one too. Keep calm and call Batman. If that doesn't work, call Mom. The best license plate I ever saw. It was on the back of an Infiniti. You know that car brand, the Infiniti? Well, Infiniti prints its brand name on the back trunk. And so there's Infiniti printed there. Well, right underneath that is a license plate. And the license plate said, N Beyond. So it was Infiniti and Beyond. So if you know Buzz Lightyear and the Toy Story story, you'll know that. So there's not a whole lot of wisdom on bumper stickers or T-shirts or license plates. We look for wisdom sometime in other places like fortune cookies. I opened a fortune cookie one time, and it said, be prepared to accept a wondrous opportunity in the days ahead. And Becky and I were out eating together, and she opened up hers, and she opened it up, and there was nothing inside. There was a fortune cookie that had no slip inside of it. And so what does that mean? I don't know. Sometimes we think about other proverbs, like Confucius had ancient Chinese proverbs. Confucius say, he who laughs last laughs best. You've heard that one. Confucius also say, he who leaps from cliff jumps to conclusions. There's not much wisdom in any of those things. There'll probably be an attempt at wisdom by graduation speeches this coming month. And so whether it's high school or whether it's college, people offer speeches to try to impart some final lasting thought in the minds of the graduates. In recent years, famous people have offered these gems of wisdom. You can do whatever you set your mind to. Where there's a will, there's a way. These are actual topics of graduation speeches in the last couple of years. If you can dream it, you can do it. Learn something new every day. Buck up and get over it. I wonder if they recycle those speeches year after year, because I think probably Plato said the same things to the graduating class of 400 BC. I think they were the same messages. The question is, how do you know what message to listen to? Do you listen to Bill Nye, the science guy? Or do you listen to Ken Ham, the creationist? How do you know which message to listen to? Do you listen to Larry the Cable Guy? Or do you listen to Bill Gates, the corporationist? Who do you listen to? Of course, it's an important question, because whoever has your attention, whatever message kind of rumbles around in your mind, has the power to shape your thinking and therefore your choices as well. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, we must pay careful attention to what we hear so that we do not drift away. The messages that we listen to, the messages that stick, are important to us. And the question is, where do we get those messages from? There was a time in ancient Israel where God's people in the Old Testament had just been released from 400 years of slavery. They had just escaped Egypt under Moses' leadership, and they had crossed the Red Sea. They had escaped being recaptured by Pharaoh's army, and they were headed to the Promised Land. But between Egypt and the Promised Land, there's this desert area, horribly arid, no water, no vegetation. And it was through this land that they had to go to get to the Promised Land. And the people wondered, okay, you know, we brought, you know, some granola bars with us, but that's not going to last us till we get to the Promised Land. Where are we going to get our food and water from? And so they pleaded to God for help. Moses said, listen, God is going to provide some amazing things for us as we go through the desert. He's going to provide water. I know this is a desert, but God is going to miraculously provide water for you. He's going to provide something to eat for you. And quail showed up miraculously, and people could capture the quail birds and eat the quail birds. And one of the most amazing things, every single morning while the Israelites wandered in the desert, there was this flaky stuff that appeared like dew on the ground. And it was kind of like flour. And it was something that they could gather and they could make into bread, into cakes, into crackers, things like that. It was called manna. And that manna appeared every day to help supply the food for God's people. But there was a caveat with it. Moses said to the people, listen, this is what God wants you to do. Collect what you need of the manna every morning and use whatever you'll need. Do not keep anything overnight to the next day. And the reason that was an important instruction was because God wanted his people to trust him, wanted them to know that every single day they can put their trust in God because he's going to provide for them. People who wanted to hoard stuff, keep stuff over, you know, that wasn't an act of trust. And God knew that. So he said, don't keep anything extra overnight. And then in Exodus chapter 16, verse 20, it said, but some people did not listen to Moses. Some people weren't paying attention. Some people kept some of that stuff overnight, and the next morning it had turned to just some rancid, maggoty, sour, yucky stuff. And Moses said, see, I told you. If you don't listen to God, if you don't pay attention to what he's telling you, things are not going to go well. And of course, the rest of the story, we know the rest of the story, things didn't go well. the people kept complaining, and God said, fine, instead of going into the promised land right away, you'll just kind of wander around for one generation till this generation passes, and then the next generation will go into the promised land. But the point here is that the ancient Israelites did not listen to Moses. They had a message from God through Moses. They weren't paying attention to that. When our minds begin to head in a certain direction, usually our hearts, our lives follow. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, 21, says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, what you invest in, what you list in your head as valuable is going to drag your heart, it's going to drag your life along with it. And so the Israelites wandered around in the desert for 40 years because they would not pay attention to God. They would not listen to Moses. And even though it was offered to them, they lacked direction. They lacked clarity. They lacked vision that would take them to the promised land. Now, to avoid that same aimlessness today for us, our head and our heart must work together. Right thinking and right acting, behavior, choices, will keep us from drifting away. So pop quiz. Everybody's favorite, right? A pop quiz. Take out a piece of paper, put your name on the top right-hand corner, and it's just one question, this pop quiz. You ready? What do we call it when our head and our heart work together to help us think right and act right? What do we call that? When our head and our heart are working together to help us think right and act right, we call that wisdom. Thank you. Wisdom. That's how it's defined in Scripture. Wisdom is our right thinking, right acting, and that help keeps us from wandering. Wisdom is our head and our heart making sense and helping us walk the road that God has designed for us. In the book of Proverbs in the Bible, the verses that are there help us focus on counsel and wisdom, which if listened to would keep us on that straight and narrow, keep us from wandering. And you have to remember, we're talking about wisdom. It's not the same as common sense. It's not the same as what passes for whatever the world thinks is the right thing to do. Are the right thing to think. We're not going to act the same as everyone else if we're following God's wisdom. Because wisdom is a gift from God. It comes from above. We still need to seek it. We still need to pursue it. We still need to cultivate it. But it's something that comes to us from above. And it's not just knowledge, okay? It's not just simply being intelligent or having a high IQ. That's not what wisdom is. Wisdom is right acting. It's being motivated by right thinking and living right. And in the very first proverb we learned when we started this series on Proverbs that wisdom begins by paying attention to God, listening to Him. And I'm not going to spend time this morning trying to convince you to listen to God. That's not the message today. I think what he says in the Bible is clear. Instead, what I'd like to do is ask you to think about another matter, which I think is just as important. Do you listen to anyone? Do you pay attention to anything that could shape your thinking, the way you live? See, what concerns me is because we're bombarded by so many messages today, right? I mean, they come from everywhere. We're bombarded by so many messages. It'd be like you're standing out in my backyard this week on Friday when the wind was blowing 100 miles an hour, and I have two maple trees that have those helicopters on them, and you would have been hit for hours by these helicopters. Okay, you know what I'm talking about? Well, that's how the messages around us come to through our ears and through our eyes and into our minds, just like that. And the problem, I think, is that because of that, we grow numb to listening We're tired of listening. I don't want to listen to another message. And so we just check out. The problem is, if we don't think deeply about life, we let somebody else do the thinking for us. And that's dangerous. We could let some celebrity do the thinking for us. We could let some commercial do the thinking for us. Maybe worst of all, we could let the government do our thinking for us. That's dangerous if we're not intentional about who we pay attention to and who we listen to. In Judges, the book of Judges is about the transition of Israel. Once they arrived in the Promised Land, and before they had a king that would oversee the whole country, there was an intermediate time where they had judges who would hear cases and try to direct the people in how to live and what to do, that kind of thing. And so Judges has people, heroes of the faith, like Deborah, Gideon, Samson, has people like that who God used individually to help give direction to the country before there was a king. And at the very last verse of Judges, in Judges chapter 21, says that in those days, when there was no king in Israel, everyone did whatever they pleased. And in one sense, well, that sounds nice. Yeah, everyone could do whatever they wanted to. But then you think about that a little bit more. And if everyone is doing just whatever they wanted to, that's a really scary situation. Because human nature left unattended. Human nature left without any direction, without any boundaries, is destructive. And so that's kind of a solemn ending to the book of Judges. But then it begins the book of 1 Samuel, where the first king is coronated. Saul becomes the first king of Israel. So wisdom is the cure for our minds wandering. Wisdom is proactive about listening, about seeking guidance, about seeking counsel. 32 times in the 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs is the word listen, or the phrase pay attention. That's a lot of times in a short book of the Bible to have that phrase be highlighted. Listen, pay attention. Our text for today, Proverbs 11:14, puts it this way: without good direction, without paying attention to which way you should go, people lose their way. And the more wise counsel you follow, not just any counsel, but wise counsel, the more wise counsel you follow, the better your chances, the better life will be, the better off you'll be. So how do you know if you're listening or paying attention? How do you know? You know, as a preacher with a lot of years of experience in the pulpit, I can pay attention to who's paying attention to me. I can sense who's tracking with me, and you all do a great job of tracking with me every Sunday, so I appreciate that. But we need to be able to tell in our own lives, are we tracking with God? Are we paying attention? There's two ways to tell if you're listening. Are you ready? Two ways. Two ways to tell if you're seeking wisdom, if you're proactive about paying attention to God, to growing in wisdom. The first way is that you need to ask yourself, we need to ask ourselves, are we in love with learning? Do I love learning? Ask yourself that question. Do I love learning? A wise person loves learning. Spiritual growth is important. Faith improvement is important. Not just self-improvement. You can find a million books on wherever we can find books today. You can find a million books about self-improvement. But it's not just about improving ourselves. It's about improving our faith relationship with God, our love relationship with one another. That's spiritual growth. Do you have a teachable spirit? I need to ask myself, do I really want to learn? Am I open to learning? because a wise person loves learning. Charles Wesley captured that in his great hymn called A Charge to Keep I Have. You remember that song? A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, a never-dying soul to save and fit it for the sky. There's a lot in our world today about being fit, fitting our physical condition to a certain standard that'll keep us healthy. Well, a wise person is aware of how important it is to keep spiritually fit, keep our soul in shape for the kingdom of God. Am I open to new thoughts, new ideas? Am I intentional about seeking not just knowledge, but wisdom? It's one thing to seek trivia. It's one thing to seek a knowledge so that you can beat Ken Jennings on Jeopardy. You know, that's one thing. But that's not what wisdom is. Wisdom seeks understanding. Wisdom wants to know, okay, if I know this, how do I use it? How do I apply it in my life? That's wisdom. Proverbs 21, verse 11. Gain wisdom by paying attention to the wise. Proverbs 15, 22. And here's some of those proverbs that go along with our text today. Proverbs 15, 22. Refuse good advice and watch your way fail. Take good counsel and watch them succeed. And Proverbs 1, 22. How long will you refuse to learn? So ask yourself this question. Which do I say to myself more each week? Do I say to myself, well, you know, you just can't teach an old dog new tricks? Or do I say, well, learn something new every day? You see the difference. If we've just kind of given up on being open to learning, then we're going to go to that old adage that says, well, you can't teach a dog new tricks. But if we're open to learning, then we're going to say, hey, it's nice to learn something new every day. Think about that in your week ahead. So I said there are two ways to tell if you're listening. One is you love learning. The second is you love being corrected. A wise person doesn't shun correction. A wise person welcomes discipline. A wise person is open to changing her mind, actually welcoming evaluation and discipline. Proverbs 12, verse 1, if you love learning, you love the discipline that goes with it. It's stupid to refuse correction. So pop quiz number two. All right. This is multiple choice. Choose A or B. When someone points out something that you've done or said that's not right, do you A, get defensive and grit your teeth and think, well, what do they know? Or B, humbly accept their comments, seriously consider what they say, and genuinely say, well, thanks for pointing that out. A or B. Proverbs 11, 2, with humility comes wisdom. Humility is a willingness to change. It's a willingness to know there are some things in my life that need to be adjusted, and okay. Maybe I can't see them all. Maybe somebody else can see what needs to be adjusted in my life. I'm open to accepting that. Proverbs 6:23, the corrections of discipline are the way to life. Proverbs 27:17, maybe you've heard this verse, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. A couple years ago, I was out on a hot summer day cutting the grass, and about halfway through, I noticed this dog wandering around. I hadn't seen him before in our neighborhood, and I noticed that he was dragging his tether. His tether was connected to his collar, but but it wasn't connected to the other end. Somehow he'd broken loose. And so I stopped mowing grass right in the middle, and he was around my yard, so I went up cautiously to him. But he wasn't in much shape to offer any kind of resistance. He was panting, moving slow, big black lab, hot summer day. You can get the picture. So I grabbed the one end of his tether, and I brought him up to a shade tree that we have in our yard. I'd already cut around it, so I didn't have to worry about that. And I tied his tether to that tree in our yard, and he laid down in the shade. I went and got him some water. At that time, we had a dog, and I had some dog biscuits, and I was trying to keep my dog out of sight of this dog. and so I gave him a little food, a little water, and then I just let him rest there. I let him rest while I finished cutting the grass. I finished cutting the grass, and I came back, and I thought, you know, we need to go find this dog's owner. And maybe I hadn't seen him around the neighborhood because he'd been tethered, kept, you know, in his yard all the time. I'd never seen him, but now he's gotten loose. So I walked around with him and went up to a particular house that I thought had a big black lab like this, and wondered, you know, if this was their dog. And they said no, but that they would take care of it. They'll figure out how to find its owner, and they'll take care of it. I could tell that, you know, they were dog lovers. So I left that dog with them. And it dawns on me as I think about paying attention and listening and growing in wisdom that sometimes people look at, they have a vision of a life of faith. They have a vision of God, or they have a vision of being a Christian as being tied up, being chained. And to them, that's a negative connotation. They don't want to go there. They don't want to be tethered to anything in life. But wisdom that seeks counsel, that seeks advice, that welcomes correction, that loves learning, wisdom keeps us tethered to what gives us life. That dog was tethered to my tree in the shade and got water and food, and which he needed at the moment. He was able to rest. He was able to regenerate some energy. And see, when we're tethered to the right thing, when we're paying attention to God, to his truth, when we're seeking counsel, when we're willing to learn and open to correction, when we're tethered to the Lord, then that gives us life. That's what wisdom is about. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 8, he said, "You shall know the truth. You'll be tethered to the truth. If you'll be tethered to the truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you free." I know it sounds like an oxymoron, but that's what Jesus said. And he also said, "I am the truth." When we're chained to Jesus, when we're tethered to Jesus, when we're tied up to him, that tree that we're tied to is the tree of life. It's the tree of knowing what is right and what is wrong. It's the tree of truth. It's the tree that can set us free in life. This proverb, along with many others in the book of Proverbs, is about understanding that wisdom gives us direction. It helps us see where to go. It's the truth that guides our life. And it's by that wisdom, tethered to the truth, to Jesus Christ, that we have life that God intends for us to have. Listen to Jesus. Pay attention to Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Get it? Good. Let's pray together. Holy and loving God, we thank you today for this hour we've spent together. It's a blessing to come together and enjoy each other's company in the presence of your Spirit and to adore you and to worship you. We thank you for your word today. We thank you that you've spoken once again to us through your word. We ask that you actually help us hear what you have to say to us. The message this morning is about listening, about paying attention. There's so many messages that bombard us every day. How do we know who to pay attention to? How do we know who to listen to? We can't turn off every message. But Lord, help us to filter out the ones that are harmful. Help us to filter out the ones that lead us astray. Help us instead to let in your word, your truth, into our minds and hearts. Because we know your promise to us that if we do that, that will be true freedom for our souls. Oh Lord, we need that freedom. We need that light. We need that truth. We need that way in our lives. Help us to see clearly the truth in Jesus Christ. Amen.